I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And we have a show for you for sure today. We've been having a few of those lately, and that's a good thing. At any rate, I've got something I want to show you. See if I can put it up there without getting all shiny all over it. This is a box. And it is a box with a Google Chromecast in it. Now, I'm not going to do an official unboxing. I could because I have a box. So I could do that. But I'm just not one of those unboxing kind of guys, you know? Where you shoot somebody unboxing something. If you want to see that, there are plenty of channels that do that. Okay? But I ain't one of them. I don't find that a thing. Okay? I mean, it's good to see one time somebody do it, because then you at least see what you get in the box. Good. But I don't have to see 1,000 channels unboxing things. Just one of my little peccadillos. At any rate, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, indeed. Now, if you'd like to go to the blog, drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen, I encourage you to do that because we have stuff from the blog this week. Actually, for real, just a few things. You know, we're not going crazy here. Just a few things. First of all, I will say this. We now have as our sponsor, the official VPN that I can truly well recommend for sure this time. No. I know we had one that I recommended before, and it was good. But this is really, really good. This is the one that I actually have on my PCs, my laptop, my Fire TV stick, my everything else that I need to have a VPN for. And you do need a VPN. Don't think you can't get away without a VPN these days. There's stuff going on out there. So, if you go to drbill.tv, drbill.tv/VPN, it will take you to Private Internet Access, PIA, Private Internet Access. That's the VPN that I can truly recommend, okay? So, if you're looking for one, use that link, and you will get a discount, a sizable discount, on PIA. Okay? So, that's also on the blog if you want to go there and read up on it. Now, speaking of security, most of you know that I use LastPass. I still use it. I have a membership in it. I actually have a family plan, so my whole family could use it if they want to. But here's the thing. LastPass is a paid product when you use it to its full extent. There is an open source alternative. And if you want to go free and have an open source alternative to LastPass, there's something called Bitwarden. Like the warden of a prison, but it's for bits. Bitwarden. It's at bitwarden.com. Security you can trust. Open source transparency. Global accessibility, end-to-end encryption. We're not talking about cheap encryption here. This is AES 256-bit encryption. Cross-platform applications. So they've got basically got a version of it for everything. And a global community that has the highest security standards. So there. open source version of LastPass, so to speak. The other thing I want to talk about is Clonezilla. Now, I've probably mentioned Clonezilla a few times before, but here's the thing. We're kind of in a vein here of alternatives. With the alternative to LastPass, now we have an alternative to Acronis. I like Acronis. I've used Acronis a long time. It allows you to make a bare metal backup of your computer. Well, you can do that with an open source tool as well called Clonezilla. Clonezilla, yes. Brings to mind the old, you know, Godzilla movies back in the day. I used to come home from church on a Sunday afternoon and watch Godzilla movies. That's odd, but I did. Anyway, that and Tarzan. Used to watch Tarzan in the afternoon as well on Sundays. Anyway, nostalgia for me. But Clonezilla, it has a great number of features. It will do the bare metal cloning of your machine, and we're going to do a demo of it right now. All right, here we are on the desktop here in my Windows machine, and we are at clonezilla.org. This is what I want to talk about. Clonezilla is free and open source software for disk imaging and cloning. Now, most of you know that have listened to the program for any length of time and seen the program, you know that I love Acronis. Acronis is a great closed source tool to do disk imaging. And I've used it for years. I've used it both when I was working in a regular system administration job in the public sector, as well as personally, privately, I own Acronis. However, Clonezilla is the open source alternative to Acronis. And what I wanted to show you here is if you go over here to download, click download, and you will want to download the stable version. Now, if we click on that, it will come up to the architecture. AMD 64 is for most Windows 64-bit type machines, most PCs. The thing that I want you to see here is the file type. We want to pick ISO, okay, and then click download. Now, we want the ISO because we want to use the ISO to create a USB stick that will boot Clonezilla. All right, so we click download, we download the ISO, and then we can come over here, let me drop this out, and use Balenia Etcher, or Balenia Etcher, not sure exactly how to pronounce it, but it is a company that purchased the open source code for Etcher. We select the image that we want. We select the target, and we flash it. And that will allow you to flash your Clonezilla ISO into a bootable USB drive. Okay? So that's how we get started. Now, let's create a VMware VirtualBox session and take a look at it. All right, here we are on the desktop of my Windows machine. We're going to create a new session here, and we're going to call it Clonezilla because that's what we want to install. Now, I don't know about you, but as for me, I like to put my virtual machines on a separate drive than my C drive. That's just me. You do what you feel good about. I'm going to go to Linux. And we're going to go to other Linux 64-bit, nice and generic. And I don't know about you, but I like to give it at least 1024 meg of memory. Other than that, we're going to accept mostly the defaults here. Dynamically allocated is fine. 8 gigs, sure, that's fine. And now we've got a session ready for us here, so I'm going to go ahead and start that. It's going to come up and it's going to ask me, where is your ISO? And it happens to be right here. So I'm going to pull that up. I'm going to choose it. We're going to start. Now, keep in mind that this ISO file is the boot, if you will, drive for CloneZilla. And we can start it with the default settings. We can run it live. We have all kinds of options here. I'm just going to go ahead and accept the default. And we'll get rid of some of these little messages. I'm going to move this where we can see it. And it will come up here shortly. Now, CloneZilla, as you know, is designed for cloning one drive to a backup source, a backup drive. It could be an attached USB drive, could be the network. Wherever you want to put your files that you would then use to restore your system, you're essentially going to be taking a snapshot of a system in the condition that it's in. Okay? Which means that this is, how can I put this? It's a one-time snapshot. It's not going to change on the fly. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep all the defaults and just let it boot here. All right, start CloneZilla. And here we go. This is the menu for the system. Work with files or partitions using images. Work with directly from a disk or partition to a disk or partition. Remote source, which would be the source node to the remote device cloning. And destination, so forth. We've got several options. This is going to be the one that you would use most often. Is work with a local disk partition, image that over to another device. Okay? And so you would select that and come down here and hit OK. And it will come up then and say, okay, use your local hard drive, which is going to, before cloning, it says you have to assign where the image will be saved to. Okay, so that would be putting it on your local hard drive. You can put it to various other options, an SSH server, a Samba server, NFS server. You've got all these different options of where you want to put your backup. Okay, but as I was saying, the backup is, in effect, static. Once you create that backup, that is the condition of your system as it was when you ran this utility, okay? So if you make changes down the road, you're using your PC and you add files and you take away files and you do all these different things, and then you do a restore from that static backup, you're going to be to the point back in time that you started this whole procedure, okay? So don't think you're going to save all those files that were created after the fact. That was my point, okay? And I got a little distracted because I was looking at menus. So I wanted to finish that thought. Now, this is a good thing because it allows you to back up a system once you have gotten it. You've gotten it just right. You know, it's pristine. Everything's working. No glitches. And you do your backup, okay? Then you do something stupid. You know, on your machine, you add a driver that messes everything up. It blows up windows. You get a blue screen. Now you can take that backup, get back to that point where everything was hunky-dory, and you're in good shape. Okay, that's what CloneZilla is for. And it's free, 100% free, unlike options like Acronis, which I love Acronis, but this is essentially the open source free version of what Acronis will do for you. Well, there you go. That was CloneZilla. I trust you found that interesting. You can download the ISO. You can burn a copy of it to a USB stick, and you'll have the ability for free to do a bare metal backup. Pretty cool. All right. let's talk about the Chromecast. Now, why talk about Chromecast? Well, you know that I've been a Chromecast fan, to a certain extent, for all of these many years. I got the original Chromecast. This one has many new features, including a remote. Let me tilt that so you can see the screen. The front of the box. A remote that allows you to use it like you would use your Roku, like you would use your Fire TV. As a matter of fact, this streaming system will actually allow you to do most of what those things will do. Now, Roku is proprietary in that there are channels that are Roku channels that aren't elsewhere. You know what I'm saying? So, keep that in mind. But, for general streaming, you want to stream YouTube, you want to stream Netflix, you want to stream Disney Plus, all of those kinds of things, Chromecast with Google TV is your go-to for that. It's only $49. Very inexpensive, but you get a lot for your $49. Now, let's go into it, set it up, and take a look at it right now. All right, we're in the interface now for the Google Chromecast with Chrome TV. Let's go over to my account and settings. And then we'll go down to the system area and then about. And what I want you to do is go all the way to the bottom and click on Android TV OS build several times, 5 or 6 times there until it tells you you're a developer. Now, of course, I already had done that, so it says I'm a developer. But there you go. We'll back out of this menu system and we'll back out all the way to the beginning, to the home screen, and there you go. Backed out too far. That's the screensaver. Let's go back to the home screen. Here we go. And we'll go down here and go to YouTube. And let's go over in YouTube. This is my YouTube account. Over to my videos. This is an earlier edition of the Dr. Bill Show. So we'll crank that up. It'll be somewhere in the middle of it because I was watching it earlier. And there you go. Let's back out. And we'll go ahead and back all the way out to the home screen again. And there we go. That is the Google TV with Chromecast. We'll go into the apps here. Notice that the apps can be installed from this screen. Previously, I had installed the Downloader app. That's a key app you will need to install third-party applications. But all of that setup was lost into the Bitbucket. So we don't have that. But at least I was able to go in and show you how to enable developer mode, which is one of the key things I wanted to do in this video. So we got that done, regardless of all the mess-ups. So there you go. I trust you enjoyed it and that you will enjoy a Chromecast with Google TV. Okay, there you go. That's the Chromecast. I trust you found that interesting. Now we got into it. We went into a lot of things on it, but highly worthwhile. Trust you enjoyed the show today. Remember, the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of drbillbailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.